Remember when things worked? Remember when you did something successful? What do most of us remember? Oh, who said failures? Somebody said good times. We got like opposing views here. What does our mind do very often? Recalls what very often? The negative, right? We call those regrets. We call those mistakes. I want you to begin to, we're still in the new year, are we not? I know we crossed over to February, but I'm wanting all of you to have a new mindset this year. One in which you know and believe and trust that God is with you and for you, and that you are moving forward and God is helping you grow and change. And that life is good no matter what, because God is good, right? And I want you to begin to each and every day remember at the end of the day all the blessings you received. That would be like, it would be a long time before you went to sleep, right? If you counted them all, right? They say count sheep, right? I say count your blessings. When we focus on our blessings and give God thanks and praise, it changes us. And then life becomes different, doesn't it? Right. And then when difficulties come, because they may, you're going to have what type of attitude, though? A can-do attitude. Because if God helped you in the past, he'll help you now, and he'll help you in the future as well. God is always available to help us, right? No matter what. Believe that this morning? We're going to find out. Let's go to the book of Mark this morning. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. Mark 8:11. This picks up where Jesus has been traveling with his disciples and ministering and healing and doing all kinds of miracles. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came to argue with him. How would you like to be that kind of pastor or minister, right? Doing God's work, doing things that are awesome and great, you doing great things in your life, right? And somebody comes to argue with you. What does that do to you? What does it do to your ministry? Nothing. Nothing. You still minister, don't you? You still minister to those that don't necessarily agree with you, don't you? Because God will deal with that part of it. But anyway, here come the Pharisees, always in Jesus' face, testing him to see if he was from God. Okay. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people don't understand who Jesus was or is. And sometimes people test even our faith, right? To prove, they want us to prove that God is alive, that God is real, that Jesus Christ, in fact, is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the resurrected Savior, the King of all humanity, right? Sometimes people question our faith, don't they? Right. So you got to know what you believe, don't you? And you have to stand firm on that belief no matter what, correct? And God is on your side, right? No matter what. All right, beautiful, you got it. They demanded, give us a miraculous sign from heaven to prove yourself. When Jesus heard this, he sighed deeply and said, why do you people demanding a miraculous sign? I will assure you, I will not give this generation any such sign. They didn't want a sign of his miracles. They wanted a sign from where? Heaven. They wanted like lightning to crash or quail to fall down or manna to go down on the ground or something in the physical. They wanted to see it with their own eyes, not through Jesus Christ, but just miraculously somewhere out of heaven, out of the blue. They wanted that type of specific sign. And what does Jesus say? I'm not giving you that kind of sign. I'm going to show you through my works, through my actions, through my love, through my forgiveness, through everything I am and do. That's how we prove God to others. Isn't it true? How do people know about love? When we show it to them. How do they know about forgiveness? When we forgive them. How do people know about God's resurrecting power? When we come up out of the ashes ourselves and show that we made it, we survived somehow, right? That's how God proves himself in our lives and in your life, through the ways in which we grow and go through difficult times and come out the other side greater and stronger than before, right? That's the kind of miraculous signs Jesus was going to show. So he got back into the boat and left them. See, Jesus didn't bother arguing and trying to change the Pharisees' minds. He wasn't going to waste his time on that, right? He was going to continue to minister to people that needed him and wanted him and were looking for something from God in their heart, a change, not trying to argue against what God is, but accepting who God is, right? So he just leaves them. He's like, I'm not paying attention to you. Would you kindly, as you're going forward with your life this year, will you stop listening to negative voices? Will you stop arguing with those shadows or those voices in your head that say you're not enough, you can't be enough, you'll never make it? Will you stop arguing with them? Will you?
Yes.
Thank you. Get in your boat and leave. Right? I got things to do. I got places to go. I don't have any time for negativity. Do you? Well, we often spend a lot of time in it, don't we? Oh, boy, we can really go down the negative whirlpool down, can't we, if we're not careful, if we don't stop and leave it. You have so much power, folks. You have every power within yourself every single day to stop the negative voices. How do you stop them? You walk away from them and you focus your mind on what? God and power, and remember the good in your life. See, you can't hold two thoughts at the same time. Think about an elephant and a monkey. Think about an elephant and a monkey. Think about an elephant and a monkey. Do you see an elephant and a monkey? What do you see? A monkey riding an elephant. But just think about an elephant when you're thinking about an elephant and a monkey. Your mind can't hold those two thoughts. Isn't that amazing how the mind works? You can only think one thought at a time. They might be in a full sentence or a paragraph or a visual or a feeling, but you can't hold a negative and a positive thought at the same time. They counteract each other, like that. So you get to choose which one you're going to allow in your head. Are you going to think about an elephant or a monkey? You can choose. Isn't that good news this morning? You can choose your thinking. Yes, you can. You're not on automatic pilot all the time, although some of us are, right? How did you get to church this morning? Does anybody remember how you drove here? The car just automatically comes here, right? Yeah. I could be going somewhere else, and my car always comes down 49th Street, tries to turn on 62nd Avenue. Wait a minute, I was going to this other place. Okay, I'll stop by the church for a minute. That's how the unconscious mind works. It's habitual, right? So you have to become conscious of what it is you're thinking, first and foremost, okay? So when a negative thought comes, you do what? Move away from it and bring to your mind something positive. Got it? Do you have a positive word that you know of? Oh, Jesus, God, love, peace, comfort, encouragement. Those are positive words, are they not? All right, so I gave you some words this morning. How fun of me. Thank you. You're welcome. He got back in the boat and left them, and he crossed to the other side of the lake. But the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any food, so there was only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they crossed the lake, Jesus warned them. See, Jesus was in a hurry to get in the boat and get away from the negativity. Notice that? The disciples were worried about what? Food. We got to make sure there's enough food on board, because obviously we're going to starve from this side of the lake to the other one. So we always have to have our physical needs met. And then they're on the boat with Jesus, right? And they're thinking, we have one loaf of bread. Only one loaf. For all 13 of us, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with only, oh my, how fast they move from positive to negative. They just got in the boat and they're worried about food. What do you worry about? What do you worry about in the physical? Oh, just a question. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." They decided he was saying this because they hadn't brought any bread. They're still thinking about the bread. Where is the bread? And now I got to not only worry about bread, I got to worry about leaven in bread. What kind of bread did you bring, Peter? Oh, no, I brought the kind with yeast in it. We're supposed to bring the unleavened bread. What are we going to do? Wrong bread, right? What is Jesus always teaching us and teaching the disciples? Spiritual lessons. Spiritual lessons. We get entrapped in the physical, don't we? We get trapped into thinking about our physical needs, don't we? Yes, we do. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said, "Why are you so worried about having no food? Why are you so worried about the material things of this life? Why are you so worried about having nothing? Why are you so worried about that next meal when there are greater things to be concerned about, right? Why are you so distracted by so many things and people's opinions and this person and that person and who likes you and who doesn't like you and all those kind of things that we all get distracted? How many likes I got on Facebook? I didn't get enough. Why do you compare ourselves to somebody else all the time, don't we? Why are you so worried about all of those distractions, Martha?" Oh, that's another scripture. Won't you ever learn or understand? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? Don't you remember anything about who God is? Why is Jesus saying this in such a way? Well, in the preceding chapter, I didn't tell you this part. In the preceding two chapters of Mark, Jesus fed 5,000 people. And then he fed 4,000 people with 45,000 loaves of bread, right? No, okay. What about the 5,000 men I fed with five loaves of bread? How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? Do you remember? 12. 12 baskets left over. Five loaves of bread, 5,000 people. How many leftovers? 12 baskets full. And when I fed the 4,000 with seven loaves, mathematically, seven loaves for 4,000, five loaves for seven. Oh, anyway, there must be something in there, right? How many loaves we're supposed to have, right? Oh, no. How many large baskets did you pick up? Large baskets. Now, these are different baskets than the original baskets, weren't they? There were how many disciples? And how many leftover baskets were there? How many? Let's see. One for each? They had their own basket of food, of bread left over? And they brought how many loaves onto the boat? Boy, they surely like bread, don't they? And they're worried about it, aren't they? How many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up? Seven, they said. Don't you understand even yet, he asked them. What is Jesus teaching them that they don't understand? Oh, there's a spiritual teaching in here. Where is it? Where is that spiritual teaching? Where'd I put that? Oh, it's in my other microphone. How about this? If Jesus is with you, you always have bread. You always have everything you need. So you do not need to worry about whether you have one loaf, five loaves, seven loaves, or 100 loaves of bread, do you? If Jesus is with you, what does he do? supplies every one of your needs. Do you need to do anything? You just show up, don't you, with Jesus. Now, earlier he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, what's the leaven of the Pharisees? They did not believe that he was the Son of God. They wanted proof of who he was. See, leaven is considered influence. You know, you put yeast into a bread, what happens to it? How much yeast do you have to put? Just a teeny tiny bit. So let's look at it this way, back to the original part of this sermon. How much negativity do you need in your life for it to get ruined? Just a mustard seed size. Lack of belief, fear, doubt, worry. All of those little things. And in the Song of Songs, it says, beware of the little foxes who can come and devour the vineyard. Little foxes. One little negative thought. This is what Jesus is talking about. Herod also had a negative belief system about who Jesus was, right? That was the governmental person, and we had a religious person. Be careful when people try to tell you something of who you're not, whether they're a government leader or whether they are someone in a religious sect of some kind. And they try to tell you that you don't belong in God's kingdom, that you are cast away from God, or that you are not good enough. That is leaven coming in. And what are you supposed to do about those negative things that people try to say to you or about you? You get in your boat and move on. Right? Right? When you start to worry about anything in your life and get concerned about material things versus spiritual ones, what's more important? Always the Spirit, right? Always the Spirit. Jesus is always teaching us spiritual principles that still hold true today. I want you to know this, that if you can remember all the miracles that Jesus ever did, in fact, some of them aren't even written down, as John once said. If we were to write all the miracles that Jesus ever did, there wouldn't be books enough or internet enough to hold them. Has God ever done a miracle in your life? Do you remember when? Do you remember the first time you accepted God into your heart and what it felt like? Do you remember the first time you knew that God loved you unconditionally and that there was no man or woman or anybody, any entity, any religious group, any government that could tell you otherwise? You believed it with your heart and your soul, and you believed that God could use you in miraculous, awesome ways, didn't you? Do you still remember that today? But a little leaven, a little doubt, a little fear, a little concern that you're less than, that can expand, can it? Whatever you focus on expands, doesn't it? Think about that elephant. Remember that elephant with those great big floppy ears and that big long trunk and that purple elephant? Can you see him, her? I don't know their gender. How do you figure that out? I don't have any idea, but I do know this. It's a purple elephant. Doesn't exist. In your mind right now, do you see it? On the side of it, do you not see Dumbo? Oh, some of you are still thinking about the monkey, right? Monkey see, monkey do. Anyway, listen, since you can remember when God performed a miracle for you, even if it was once, since you can remember what God has done for others perhaps, can you now take that thought into the future? And when you start to have some kind of shifting life situation, you know, life can happen, right? Yes? Life does happen. What are you going to remember? When God saved you, when God helped you, when God brought you out of another circumstance into something pleasant now, when God transformed one situation into something better, right? God will always provide, yes? Will you remember your strengths going forward? This side of the room's like really way ahead. I know. I don't want to tell you what kind of fans they are, but anyway. I'm not going there. I'm doing good. For just a second, think about a time when you were powerful. Think about that time. Think about it. When you like were on top of the world. When you were just like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can walk one more second, but I can walk this extra step forward. Or when you were really afraid to go on that job interview and you went anyway and you did really well and you felt like, wow, I think I got that job. Right? Right? Or when you knew that God healed you. You went, wow, I feel so much better. My emotions, they've shifted and changed. I feel good about life, right? Think about those things. The next time, or if another time comes, when you think you've run out of bread. See, bread only represents, to me at least, sustenance, something in the natural we think we need. But if you rely on God 100% for everything, do you not have everything you need? Yes. Oh, for those of you over here that were remembering the negative, where were you? Where they? Oh, there's one. Okay. So, honest person. Oh, there's one in the back over there hiding. I see. Can we have an exchange for that, please? How about you start remembering the good? How about you start that today? What's one good thing that ever happened to you in your life? You met me. That's right. All right. I love it. All right. Yeah. Yay. Who said that? Who said that? I do know that when some people walk in the room, it gets brighter and sometimes it gets darker, right? I don't know which person am I. But listen, the day you were born, God smiled. The day you were born. The day you showed up in this place. The day you smiled at somebody else. The day that you reminded someone else that there's good in people because of your generosity, your caring, your giving, your encouragement, your love. Yes, will we run out of bread? I don't know. But Jesus once said, we don't live by bread alone, but on every word of God, right? That's what we live on and feast on. And I do know this, that if we said we ran out of bread, all of your disciples, man, you'd be doing a BOGO, go-go, wo-bogo, balogo, whatever it's called. You'd be out there, I mean, hitting the streets, getting us bread. We got to have bread. Think of it in the spiritual sense. When someone is hurting, run out and bring them bread. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Word of God. Encouragement from the Scriptures. Tell somebody else what God's done for you to lift them up. See, just like a little bit of leaven can ruin something, But a little bit of leaven can make things grow, too, on the positive side, can't they? One little kind act that you do, one little insignificant thing that you do, even if it's a hug, a smile, a touch, whatever. One little word of encouragement about who God is and how God loves you or whatever it might be. One little word of kindness can lift a person's spirits, can't they? So what's your role in this, church? First and foremost, I know this. Whatever we need, God will supply, right? Secondly, stop worrying about the things that are not important. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to it. And if you have to think, because sometimes you do think, right? If you have to think, you might as well think big. You might as well think positive. You might as well think God can do all things. And that's what I want to believe. And if you get a picture of God's greatness in your life and continue to share that with others, and you put out positive words, positive actions, positive feelings towards others, a little bit will go a really long way, won't it? So let us each know this. We don't need a miracle to prove that God is. You know why? We have all of you. You, just by yourself, because of Christ saving you and bringing you into eternal salvation and bestowing the Holy Spirit upon you, gifts and talents, the fruit of that, you can change lives for the better. So what we're going to do today as we go into communion, if you start to remember anything that you need forgiveness for, if that happens to pop into your mind, or if you start to drift into thinking about what you're not, you're going to quickly leave your boat and come up here to communion and get prayed for, to ask God to help your mind and your heart. And when God bestows a blessing upon you through this communion time, as you come forward and perhaps you remember the good that God has done for you, it would be okay to thank God on your way up. It would be okay to do that. And then when you receive the communion, the bread of life, you're going to have so much love left over. Could be 7 baskets, could be 12 baskets. But when God gives you the power of the Holy Spirit through this communion meal, what's going to transpire is you're going to have bread for yourself, which is God's word, which is love. God is love. And you're going to take that love and then share it with others and spread the good news so that a little bit of love can go a really long way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.